This is the Full Frontal Living Podcast. I'm your host, Master Coach, and Emotional Resiliency Expert, Lisa Carpenter. I'm here to be your guide through real, raw conversations, navigating life as a high achiever. This show covers what it takes to create physical and emotional well-being, along with how to honor and partner with your body. I'm here to guide you to a connected relationship with yourself, turning self-care into a way of being and not just another task on your to-do list. After all, the things we love, we take care of. This podcast gives you permission to love what you do, but love yourself more. Welcome to the Full Frontal Living Podcast. Well, good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, and thanks for joining me on another episode of the Full Frontal Living Podcast. Today, I'm going to talk more about what it took for me to slow down, the things that I've discovered about myself that hopefully will help you uncover some things about yourself if you are also a driven, ambitious doer of all the things. Today, we're going to be talking about what it really looks like to slow down and why we avoid slowing down. Have you ever thought about that? Because I know I used to tell myself stories that, why would I slow down? I didn't want to be that person. I had stuff to do. So I want to share with you an experience that I had back in November of 2018. So if you have been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that I am one of Jim Fortin's senior coaches inside of TCP. And within that program, you get an exercise where he asks us to sit in silence for 4 hours. Now, I've been in TCP for a long time. And over this exercise, I don't know how many rounds, but eventually I got there. And I want to share with you what that was like for me. Because, you know, I had to first identify why I was making that conscious choice to ignore it. I mean, really, it was over 3 rounds of TCP before I could wrap my brain around why I would want to sit in silence. So I give you a list of the reasons, but really they're irrelevant because the truth is when I truly want to do thing and when you truly want to do something, we make time for it. Now, if I look back on, you know, old versions of myself from back in the day, I really used to think meditation was ridiculous. I had no time to sit and be still because I had shit to do. And you're probably like me, like 4 hours, Lisa, oh my God, what I could do in 4 hours. Meditation, in my interpretation, was for people who weren't driven, who weren't ambitious, and didn't really want anything more out of life. And that wasn't me. Besides all these kind of faulty beliefs that I was carrying around, the truth is that if I'm being honest here, I couldn't sit in silence because my head never shut up. I remember having a conversation with my ex. I can't believe I'm going to share this, but I had a conversation with my ex once about, you know, just telling him like, you know, my brain is always going and I'm thinking about things and things I want to do and places I want to go and, you know, having to change the world. And I'm like, don't you get that? And he's like, no, Lisa, I don't. I'm like, what do you mean you don't? Like, I couldn't comprehend this. I'm like, so what goes on in your head all day? I'm like, is it like TV static? Like, help me understand this. And he's like, I don't know. It's just quiet. I could not comprehend what a quiet mind would be like. In fact, I didn't think this even existed because my thoughts, like I said, were constantly racing with ideas, to-do lists, and God knows what else. It was so busy up there. And my thoughts about myself, to be totally honest, weren't helpful. I was so hard on myself. And I think that deep down, I knew that being in my thoughts wasn't really going to be a kind and loving space. And you've heard me talk about this, right? The things that we can't be with will rule us. So meditation didn't sound or feel peaceful. It actually felt like it would be torture to sit in 4 hours of silence. And honestly, I'd rather hit the gym and push around a 200-pound sled than to sit and connect with the universe. So, you know, obviously back then I was not spiritual at all. And you can define spirituality however you want. I just believed that shit was for tree huggers and that wasn't for me. Maybe you are listening and relating. Now, you know, obviously my life took a turn, gosh, coming up on 10 years ago now. And it really dropped me to my knees. And in that moment, I had a choice. And I've talked about this on previous episodes. I could be a victim of what was happening in my life, or I could take responsibility for my role. So this began the process of what it looked like for me to slow down and become a human being instead of being a human doing. It was raw. It was uncomfortable. And sometimes it was even painful. And what I want you to understand, my dear listener, is your willingness to stay with the unfamiliar and uncomfortable is the thing that is going to change who you're being and how you're showing up in the world. And, you know, there's a term we use called disintegration anxiety. And that's when those parts of you that are fighting for your current beliefs they're holding on so tight, even though you're trying to step into this new way of being with yourself. And it disintegration anxiety is no joke. You really have to work through a lot of discomfort. So, you know, fast forward today, I'm pretty consistent with, you know, 10 minutes a day of meditation. I also love using hypnosis and I have no problem sitting in stillness. It feels peaceful. It feels focused. It helps me get grounded for my day. It allows me to connect inward. So this is time for me. This is self-care for me. That if you're unwilling to sit in silence with yourself, what you're really saying is that your relationship with yourself doesn't matter enough for you to just be in your own company, right? We would never, if you're in a relationship with somebody you love, you want to spend time with them. And in fact, I bet, you know, you love spending time with them even when you're not talking. I know that me and my hubby love to spend time on the couch together, just sitting, sharing each other's space. We don't have to be talking all the time. So this time, this 10 minutes, it grounds me. I get to set my intentions for the day. I get to get my energy right. You know, I stacked it on top of my morning workout. So it just has become part of my routine. And listen, I'm not perfect at it. You know, I wish I could tell you that every day it gets done. And some days it doesn't. And I've just had to learn to be kind to myself in the moments where I drop the ball, right? We've all had them. And I think so many of you who listen to me believe that, you know, once I'm committed to something, I never drop the ball. And that's just not the case. What matters more is how I talk to myself in the moments when I do drop balls and I just get back up on the horse. And I also take a really honest look at what else I might need to let go of. Because if I'm letting go of that 10 minutes of meditation, is it because I'm like, oh, I've got so much to do, I need to get home? Well, I have to look at like, what specifically do you have to do, Lisa? Is it really that important that you're willing to skip over that time with yourself? So when it came to doing that 4 hours of silence and being with my thoughts for that long, it felt like a huge, huge leap for me at the time. It was so challenging for me to wrap my head around. But here's why I finally did it and what I learned is that, you know, every day I call women and men just like you up into the transformational work I do. I'm asking them to consider what would be possible when they slow down, when they let go of all the doing, they stop, right? It's not about starting more things to get to that extraordinary goal. It's about stopping most things, tuning in, and really being with the stuff in their lives that they've been avoiding. And honestly, most of you are terrified at what you'll find if you start asking questions and exploring what's driving your behaviors. Listen, taking 100% responsibility for your current reality and the relationship that you're having with yourself, your money, your health, and your relationships with other people, your relationship with your business, it takes a metric ton of courage. It's so much easier to just put your head down and keep doing what you're doing. But if you're listening to this podcast, doing what you're doing isn't creating different results for you. And that's what this work is about. It's about challenging your current beliefs so we can create different results. So I can't lead my clients and be in integrity with the work that I do if I'm skipping over the work that feels uncomfortable for me. And I knew that by avoiding this exercise, I was still avoiding being with myself in a way that really pushed me outside of my comfort zone. 10 minutes, yes. 4 hours, holy Dinah. So I knew that if I continued to skip over this exercise, it was really going to impact that value that I hold in such high regard, which is integrity. I work from high levels of integrity. And this can be an amazing thing. And it can also be a noose around my neck sometimes because, you know, when you work from high levels of integrity, you have to also be willing to cut yourself some slack because you're not going to be able to do it perfect. So, you know, if you're listening to this thinking about like, holy crap, 4 hours, that makes me nervous and uncomfortable. I understand because I didn't know what was going to come up. And I knew that I was going to be uncomfortable having to sit for that long with no distractions. Okay. So I wasn't allowed to move, right? So it wasn't like I was going to go for a walk for 4 hours, no phone, no journal, no, you know, no pen and paper, nothing, just me and me for 4 hours. It's still, you know, 4 hours to me is a significant amount of time. So I had to remind myself that this was something I was choosing and that this time just for me was a gift for me. It was a gift I was giving myself of 4 hours of just being present with myself. I mean, what more of a loving thing can you give yourself? So in true Lisa fashion, I set a timer and I had to override thoughts of like, oh my God, this is going to be a huge waste of time. The things that I could be doing right now, right? Because I had, you know, cleared space so that I didn't have, you know, kids to take care of or any other responsibilities in those 4 hours. And I was like, oh my God, the things I could be doing. So I had to just take a deep breath, remind myself that I always have more than enough time to get everything that I need to get done and that this was going to be time well spent. So the first 2 hours, they moved pretty quickly. You know, I used the just kind of choosing to go in and out of meditation. And I just trusted my intuition when I needed to open my eyes and reset. It was quite peaceful. And to be honest, I was pleasantly surprised to find that my internal banter was pretty peaceful, which really spoke volumes to, you know, that past version of myself where my brain was constantly going, going, going. I had done enough work on myself by the time I finally did this exercise that, you know, it was pretty quiet up there, which was really, really lovely. So I used that time and I daydreamed. I experienced deep gratitude. I let the world just kind of pass me by. I personally sat in my car so that I could be surrounded by nature. I didn't want to sit on, you know, my bed staring at a blank wall. So I was able to just, you know, sit there in silence and enjoy the eagles. And yeah, it was quite peaceful until we hit the 2 hour mark. Then things got hard because I realized I was only halfway. And that was the moment that I wanted to quit because the peace started to dissipate. Mild anxiety started to set in. The discomfort returned and the voices returned, right? The voices of, I've got stuff to do. The saboteur that said, you know, Lisa, nobody will know if you stop. In fact, we could totally justify stopping. 2 hours is great. Like, you should just be proud of yourself for doing 2 hours. The voice of, you know what, this isn't for me. Like, I'm just not the person that can sit for 4 hours. This isn't in line with who I am. Let me just quickly check social media. I need to move my body. I need to move my body. Like anxiety, like I need to move my body. I should be able to do this while walking. Took a deep breath and I didn't quit. I reminded myself that this was 100% doable and that I wasn't going to die. I mean, you understand what I'm saying, right? Like all I had to do was sit in silence, but all this discomfort was washing over me again and again and again. So I reminded myself how amazing that it was that I just got to be present doing nothing, to be nowhere, to be committed to going nowhere, to take care of no one but myself for another 2 hours. So I closed my eyes again, recommitted to the exercise. I also flipped my timer over because that timer was actually taking me out of the present moment and watching, right? It's like watching paint dry, watching a timer tick by. So I flipped my phone over, you know, the alarm was set. It would go off when I hit the 4 hours and I stopped thinking about the timer or checking it. I also, you know, while I was sitting in silence, one of the questions came up is, you know, how often I measure where I am versus where I want to be and how much suffering, are you hearing me, that this was causing me in other areas of my life. This was a huge light bulb moment. And I want you to consider that question for yourself. Like, how often are you, you know, you lift your head up and you see how far you have to go, whether it's in terms of your business growth or changing your relationship with your health or something you want in your relationship with somebody else, or you're looking at your kids and, you know, wishing they were just a little bit older. And the suffering, right? That suffering happens in the space of where we are versus where we want to be. So I completed all 4 hours. And in the end, I felt really peaceful, calm, and grounded more than I probably ever have in my whole life. The rest of the day after that really seemed to expand. And no surprise, I had more than enough time for everything I wanted to do. But more importantly, I felt connected and part of something bigger. And you can call that spiritually woo-woo or whatever. But when we hit that pause button and really stop everything, we do get to connect in with something bigger than ourselves. So, you know, one of the other important questions I took away from this exercise that you may want to explore for yourself is, where else do you start or totally avoid starting doing something only to quit when it gets hard, uncomfortable, or feels unfamiliar? So the reason that this is such a powerful question is I had never considered myself a quitter. I mean, if you've been listening to this podcast, you know, I love setting big goals. I love achieving things. I love working from what is possible. So a quitter, being a quitter was never in my vocabulary. I've really had to rein in that part of me that wants to always push through, because pushing through isn't an effective strategy either. So, you know, I let go of that kind of grind it out mindset years ago, right? I'm not going to push just to push. It's really about tuning in and asking myself what I really need to feel good. But in doing this exercise, I realized that quitting can be very subtle and that we are masters at justifying our excuses. But in the end, that's all they are. It's stories that we tell ourselves to avoid, stay comfortable, and quit when things aren't going our way or aren't happening fast enough. So I know that you can do hard things, but where are you avoiding things that feel uncomfortable and unfamiliar, right? Like, I can do hard things, but sometimes for me, it's the easy things that become the hardest, right? Allowing ease, allowing to be present with my discomfort or the feeling of this being unfamiliar, because for so many years, it really was about pushing and doing more. So I want you to think about that. Where are you quitting when the discomfort gets too much? And have you considered the price you're paying by quitting? Where are you not taking responsibility because it just doesn't feel good? So whether you're changing your patterns, again, around your health, maybe you're wanting to eat healthier, you're trying to get consistent about doing some things in your business that you've been, you know, wanting to avoid, or with your workouts or in your relationships, it's where are you not taking responsibility for those things because it doesn't feel good to do them? And I've learned that sometimes to get the results that I want, I have to do the things that don't necessarily feel good, but they sure do feel good afterwards. So sitting in silence, it really wasn't hard, but it was uncomfortable until I decided to let go, choose to be peaceful, and accept full responsibility for staying committed to the exercise and really focus on what a gift that 4 hours were. You know, there are so many things in my business that aren't hard, but they're uncomfortable because I've chosen to feel that way about them. And, you know, I often use the metaphors of in the gym, and then I transfer it into my business, right? Like if I'm prepared to do this in the gym, which is really uncomfortable, why then am I avoiding this in my business? Because it's, you know, I can choose to feel differently about things that I don't necessarily want to do. So each of you listening has an opportunity to lean into your own edge, to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, and discover what you need to learn to grow yourself. And you'll be amazed at what happens when you don't quit just because it gets uncomfortable. So I want you to think about making your goals and dreams important enough that you stay with them even when you don't know when or how you're going to achieve them. Think about turning the stopwatch of your life over, no longer counting, you know, letting go of when you'll get there, and really just get present to enjoying the journey and how you can shift your perspective to enjoying the journey. This was so imperative for me getting ready for my show. I mean, if I had measured every hour, every minute, every, you know, all the time it was going to take for me to be ready for show, it would have been such a grind. But every day I just got up and said, okay, what do I need to do today? And then I ticked the boxes to make it happen. So if you're willing to be 100% committed to turning your discomfort into comfort, and allowing the unfamiliar to become your new normal, anything is possible. And, you know, when I did this 4 hours of silence, it was such a gift to remind me of what is possible when you're really committed to doing this work and pushing those boundaries of what you think you can do, and you stop avoiding the things you don't want to do. So I hope that this story inspires you to try your own hour of silence, 2 hours of silence, or hell, go for it. Do the whole 4 hours of silence. And, you know, let me know what you discover about yourself, because I know everybody with this exercise is really, really different. When you get quiet and hear what's going on in your head, you might be surprised at the stories you're telling yourself. Right? It's like sitting down with a friend and just listening. You're giving yourself an opportunity to really listen to what you're telling yourself day in and day out. But most of the time, you're keeping yourself too busy to hear it. And then you're wondering why your life isn't going as planned. And the things that you can't be with will rule you. And this is why we get into behaviors like, you know, control and overdoing and overfunctioning and being busy all the time and trying to get everybody else's approval. Until you really step into responsibility for coming to know yourself and then doing the work to really deepen that relationship with yourself and make the commitment to release these patterns of behavior that aren't serving you, your life is going to continue to be Groundhog Day. And if you're listening to this podcast, I know you want more. I know you want more. And I also know you don't want to do more. So if you want more, but you don't want to do more, but you don't know how to get to where you want to without doing more, you're going to want to reach out and hop on my calendar. We'll start with a single call. We'll see where you're at. We'll see what boulders we can move to shift you into a new perspective, and you will be absolutely amazed at what can transpire in that hour call, but I'll let you discover that for yourself. So I hope this episode around my personal discovery into the gifts that were there for me to find in that 4 hours of silence, realizing that it's the easy things that are actually harder for me, and the hard things are the easy things. Maybe that's true for you. If this resonated with you, please make sure to do your own exercise in silence. And then don't forget to, you know, head over to Instagram and share with me what your experience was, or drop me an email at lisa@lisacarpenter.ca. Reach out. I'm very accessible and I love hearing from my community. So until next time, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you haven't yet left a rating or review over on iTunes or your listening platform of choice, please do so. It helps other women and men just like you find the podcast. And I know that more people need to hear this message in, you know, the way that I uniquely deliver it, because we all have our own unique resonance in this world. So thank you again for tuning in. And I look forward to speaking to you on the next episode. You know me, so you know I like to ask disruptive questions. So here's one for you. How much significant and lasting transformation do you believe you can experience in just 1 hour? When you book a 1 hour transformational call with me, this is exactly what you'll discover. I know it sounds impossible that just 60 minutes could radically impact your life, but my clients, who are probably women just like you, can vouch for just how significant that 60 minutes was to their lives. If you're tuning into this podcast regularly, this is what I already know about you. You're smart, you're hardworking, you're ambitious, and to an outsider, you probably look like you have it all together. A successful career, you might be an entrepreneur or a CEO, or juggling a picture-perfect family. Everything that society says makes a woman successful. But you don't feel like you've got it all together. I'd love for you to consider that you might be incredibly successful and yet not see yourself as successful. In fact, for many of my clients, it takes me pointing out what they've achieved for them to see it for themselves. Most of the women I work with have never taken the time to pause and acknowledge their accomplishments because they're too busy focusing on the next thing they want to get after. I often joke that they set such high bars for themselves, but as soon as they get close to reaching them, they simply raise the bar. It's a never-ending cycle that perpetuates the story you might be telling yourself that wants you to believe you're not there yet, wherever you think there is. More often than not, these same women genuinely believe they haven't done enough and haven't earned the right to call themselves successful. You might be just like many of my clients and love setting and accomplishing goals, have no problem getting things done. You know what it means to embrace the hustle, and working your ass off might be your status quo. The women who seek me out for coaching have begun to realize that no amount of doing is going to give them the feeling of fulfillment they're looking for. What makes this realization even more painful is the acknowledgement that all the doing is having a significant impact on their physical and emotional well-being. You might be saying you're ready to take better physical care of yourself, have more quality time with your family, maybe make more money with less effort, stop feeling so exhausted, and simply stop caring so much about what other people think, or worse yet, judging yourself at every turn. You know what you want, and you know you should be able to get it done. So why aren't you able to just make it happen? The deep gut level knowing that you need to make a change in your life has nothing to do with how much you've accomplished on paper or how successful you might appear to someone looking at you from the outside. Nor will change come from just trying harder, pushing more, or beating yourself up with shoulds. You just know something doesn't feel right. And if you're willing to be honest with yourself, you probably already know what needs to change and what you need to stop avoiding. If you're listening to me thinking, how is Lisa in my head right now and able to articulate exactly what I've been feeling? Here's what I would ask you to consider. The most successful people I know have all reached a point where they decided to get one-to-one support. It doesn't matter how many self-development books you read or how many group courses you take. Nothing compares to one-to-one coaching. It's the difference between taking a bus across the country versus hopping on an airplane. Both will help you reach your destination, but the speed at which transformation is possible with a one-to-one coach is undeniable. You're not destined to run like a machine day after day, never stopping to look yourself in the eyes, in the mirror, and ask what it is you need. You need a breakthrough. But One-to-one coaching is not for you if you're committed to your suffering, victimhood, and the bullshit holding you back. This is not for you if you refuse to be open to change. It's also not for you if you want a quick fix or you are only willing to go kicking and screaming into new habits and behaviors. But if you are sick of wading through the chaos and the exhaustion and pretending it's all fine, if you recognize that some massive disruption might be just what you need to overcome comparisonitis and self-defeating head trash, if you're done with trying the same stuff that just isn't working over and over, such as overworking, being busy, undereating, overeating, overcomplicating life, numbing out with social media, drinking, Netflix, or trying to solve everyone else's problems instead of focusing on your own, or maybe you're done searching for the next business or self-help or parenting or relationship program to fix your problem, because you've finally begun to realize that you are the common denominator. And if you are ready to turn inward and be radically honest with yourself, I'm here to support you. Apply for a 1-hour transformational breakthrough call with me today. We'll go deep into what's keeping you trapped and how you can overcome it to achieve a life you feel good living with the physical and emotional well-being you desire. And if you're thinking, Lisa, this sounds uncomfortable, you're right. But what is it costing you to live with the current level of discomfort you're tolerating? And how much longer are you willing to endure feeling the way you're feeling? If nothing changes, nothing changes. It's your choice. When you say yes, all I ask is that you show up with honesty, curiosity, bravery, and an openness for what will be 60 minutes of your life that will change you in ways you will soon discover. Go to lisacarpenter.ca/WWM today to apply for your call. Space is limited. And I can't wait to hear from you.